Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Tyler Gunther, and I have herpes. I mean, a trading problem.
This is when you speak, Peter.
Oh, it
we
is?
We just went over it.
Well, I just you just said you had to mute your phone. I thought we were taking a break.
There are no breaks. I don't edit.
I completely checked out. What am I meant to say?
Dude, you were at least lying to me before when you said you listened to the show.
Cut.
No, I got you. My name's Peter Howard, and I don't have a trading problem. I will not admit to that. I am not at that stage yet.
Well, we'll see what we can get by the end of the show. Especially because we have to sit here.
I'm just saying.
Denial's not just a river in Egypt, you know.
That's what I'm going for. I'm going for the guy that won't admit he has a problem, you see. I thought that'd be fun. But maybe not. That's my second strikeout in like 2 minutes. So
we'll let the audience decide.
This isn't a baseball podcast, so you're safe. Actually, I don't know. I'm Tyler Gunther, and it seems like I have an internet problem right now. So.
This isn't a baseball podcast. I mean,
I think that was a strikeout joke, which this entire podcast is doing so far.
I like that you think I didn't get that.
Thanks for coming on. You bring me on, and all I do is I just make podcast nosedive.
I guess we're just going to call it a show. Thanks for stopping by, everybody.
All right, this is.
Brian's going to give me crap for doing a show without him, and this is what happens when I don't have Brian around.
That's what I was going to say.
I think he didn't want to be on because he knew I was coming on. He's like, God, hate him.
Yeah, I think he said he had his date with Jennifer Aniston or something. I don't know if he's lying or not.
Isn't she like 80 years old now?
Does it matter when she still looks like that?
No, but until like the sun hits her too hot and she starts melting.
Whatever. That's fine. That's true. Is Brian dating a wax figure of Jennifer Aniston? Cause that would be even better story.
So here's my theory. Do you guys watch Game of Thrones at all?
I stopped watching at some point, but I did.
Do you know the red woman, the witch lady when she takes off the necklace and she's super old?
Mm-hmm.
That's Jennifer Aniston right there.
Oh, I like it. If not, we'll write the fan fiction for it after we stop recording.
Or we just do this podcast of the fan fiction.
Hmm? Oh, I like this. The thing is, I'm not editing any of this out, so I really hope people still listen for at least as long as this, because, hey guys, this is a fantasy football podcast, I promise.
This is a train wreck.
This has been... awesome.
To be fair, when you say the words Tyler and Peter are coming on the show tonight, you get what you get. I think you should have really expected that. It's like, this is not the dream team.
If I can fit enough characters in the title, when you get Peter and Tyler on a podcast, this is what happens is going to be the title.
All right, since this is a Trade Addicts pod, I never get trade offers this late at night, and I just got one. Legit, just got one by... Andrew Levy. I think he's a DLF guy. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Name's
but go. He gives Antonio Brown. I give Darius Geis 1-for-1.
Do it.
Wait, who are you getting?
I'm getting Antonio Brown. He's getting Darius Geis.
It's so sad that's what Antonio Brown's value has come to. But it kind
isn't
of is.
It?
You've accepted it, right?
I think I would take Antonio Brown.
We can stop while you accept that if you like. Like you don't want to wait around.
I think he just revoked it.
Yes, I told you. You don't sit around, man. Sit around talking to us. You just take that.
What a trade tease.
All right. Well, you're going to have to let us know how that goes. Offer it back real quick. Just offer it right back to him. See what happens.
It's been withdrawn.
Outhouse, you're the trade expert here. Is that like a new tactic? Like you tempt someone with a trade and then you revoke it and then you know, whet their appetite and they come after you with like more?
I mean, that's like kind of what we call a dick move more than anything else. So,
okay.
No. Here's my response to him through email. Resend it. I dare you.
There's a trade, a tactic right there. All right. Well, okay. This is sort of session 46 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Yeah, their format, everything has gone out the window. But speaking of DLF family of podcasts, we have Peter Howard, who is also the host of a podcast that's a member of the DLF family of podcasts. So, Peter.
A good one.
Wait, is that to say that mine isn't a good one?
We can't help ourselves. We got to stop and derail it every 3 seconds. Have you noticed?
If I knew how to mute you, Tyler, it would be happening right now.
It was going too smooth. I didn't like it.
It was like 13 seconds.
I was uncomfortable.
Damn it.
I like being nervous.
We almost had some momentum there. Got to stop that shit right away.
All right. Well, Pete. No, I said I'm going to call you Pete, so I'm calling you Pete. Because it makes it seem like we're on an actual personal level and that I know who you are and all that stuff and we're friends. And I want to believe that I'm friends with everybody. So, Pete, why don't you tell the nice people that are hopefully still listening to this podcast a little about yourself?
Well, now I'm honestly just upset that you don't consider us friends. But yeah, my name's Peter Howard. My Twitter handle is @PAHowdy. I write for DLF. I do player projections in season and also season long for Player Profiler. And I also work with the FF Statistics clan, group, website, empire, whatever it is that Addison Hayes is starting over there. And I try and do as much for them as I can. So. Cult, yeah. If you have a cult, let me know. I'll join that too. I'm a joiner. That's what I think I'm saying.
Okay, so now PA Howdy likes Kool-Aid is going to be the next title of the show.
Yeah. By the way, his Twitter handle PA Howdy. If you read Howdy, like, oh wow, this guy is just a joy to talk to on Twitter. If you're a Mike Evans fan, get out of there. Because he is full-blown Tyreek Hill wide receiver one.
I like that you feel there's like a wealth of support for you out there and so you just outed yourself. It's like, oh, I get it. Pizza Hero, the podcast. Okay. They're all on board now. We can go forward.
But that was FF Stompy wanted me to say that to you. Tyreek Hill, the wide receiver one.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ.
And whatever the SFB champ wants, I mean, he gets.
Oh, that's true. He gets a year of anything he wants.
Yes. Well, all right. not everything. Let's be honest.
No, it's everything.
It's everything. Okay.
All right. So why don't you at least tell the people the podcast you do in the DLF family of podcasts?
Oh, yeah. I didn't mention that one. Yeah. I'm the co-host, / other guy on the Dynasty Crossroads podcast with Jake Anderson. I said literally I just answered the question and I still derailed it,
but you're not even gonna give Jake and you're not gonna give Jake any love or anything.
What do you mean not give him any love? I said his name and everything.
It's true, he did say his name. I guess that's enough, we can move on.
Jake honestly doesn't want me to say more than that about him. He's like, just pretend. God, No, he's not being modest. He doesn't want to be affiliated with me. He's a very smart man. He's like, I don't really want your stink all over me. If I could get out of this without anyone knowing we're associated, that'd be great, Pete. And I try to respect that, you know?
You guys do great work over there. It's like full, like, just being honest, amazing work. You guys do good stuff.
Yes, and same with you. If you don't know how you feel about a player, go back through the catalog of Dynasty Crossroads. They will tell you how to feel about players, and that's what I like because I never know what to think.
Yep. Jake does a ton of work on tape, and Pete types in numbers.
Yeah, Pete just enters a name into a spreadsheet, and then tells him what to say on the podcast.
I don't even type them in anymore. I just make them up. It's easier, it turns out. So copy-paste. Yeah, I don't know how great I do, but Jake does a lot of great film work. We talk about one player at a time. Jake talks about him from a film perspective, and I try and bring in an analytics perspective. The idea is we argue, but we end up agreeing sometimes and reaching a consensus, which is kind of disappointing for us. But at the same time, we do present try and present a well-rounded perspective on one player at a time. It's not like, I don't know what you guys think now that you've blown all the smoke, so you made yourself sound all magnanimous and cool, which you are. But like, we just figured it's not like a regular podcast. Every podcast tries to cover so much that I feel like I've heard it all too many times and I forget who says what. So we just try and slow it down and just really try and dig in on one player at a time. It's not as cool as talking about trades every week, obviously. But I think we have competing coolness for theme songs. I think we have some similarity in those areas because our theme songs are pretty cool too.
Yeah, you guys got two good ones.
We have Gabe. Two great ones now. One written, performed by Zach Reed of the Dynasty Dummies podcast, and the other one that just dropped was by FF Man Bun.
Gabe, oh, you got Curry. A Man Bun? I haven't heard that yet. I'm like a week behind on podcasts. It's fantastic. I listen to way too many.
It's awesome. Like the intro is literally makes our show worth it this week. And we actually tried to break down seven players at once. And we, because, you know, it's rookie season. Every rookie we talk about, we're going to talk about again after the combine and again after the draft. And we try and keep them a little more evergreen than that, or at least the last year. So we thought if we cram more in at a time, then we could give briefer takes. And then we'd feel more free to come back and talk about them again later. I think we did pretty good, but the theme songs clearly steal the show every week, to be honest with you. Gabe and Zach are just that good, frankly.
Yeah, I think I need to sign up for that that service. I still use the song I found on the free music website. Just it was literally like the third thing I clicked on. I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun, and I just sort of left it.
No. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah, we got lucky enough to get Mike Wright from the Footballers to do our music for ours.
Oh, everyone, yeah, you have an awesome, and you also have
we have Gabe, Patreon. Yeah. That, yeah, we have Gabe for Patreon, and that is that's a special baller. One.
That is so good. Yeah. I am pretty jealous about that. Maybe I have to hit up Gabe after all this.
Our Debbie Happy Hour one too.
Not to distract the host from the theme of the podcast, but I've just been sitting here staring at trying to send another trade offer on Rashad Penny, and seems to be a special kind of art. I'm yet to actually land him in the off season and the few places I didn't get him. So, like, have you guys got any ideas on how to trade for a player like Rashad Penny or Rashad Penny specifically, like that running back that didn't maybe fire in the first year but still has a lot of
like a Rojo? Year two.
No, no, like a Rojo, like a good running back,
like Rojo. God, come on, Rojo's like you can good. Give him a chance.
All right,
well, the minute Tampa Bay gives him a chance.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Consider it. Yeah, let's see if that happens.
All right, but to try and turn this podcast into a little bit of something that people actually want to listen to, for players like that, I think the best thing you could do is offer someone the solid production, because what you're getting at a Penny is a whole lot of maybe and hopefuls. So if you give someone that is absolutely a running back to, you know, someone that's locked in to get them a certain amount of points, I think that is mostly probably what they're looking for, because if they drafted Penny, there's a little bit of pain behind those eyes. And if they acquired him the other way, they just have hope. But, you know, hope's a dangerous thing. That's what Josh Redemption taught me.
Morgan Freeman, he's the truth, man. But I think also just based on my experiences and the number of LOLs I received back, I think running backs are hard sell. Like, I've sent running back twos. Austin Eckler was running back two last year. His role is going to be the same. Matt Breida was running back two last year. He might be even have a little upside, depending on what you think of Jerick McKinnon. And yeah, I just get roll on the floor laughing kind of responses, even when I add picks to it. So I don't think running back twos are working for me. No, they're not.
The Eckler, I could see the laughing on the floor, but like maybe a Tariq Cohen straight up for him, because I still feel like the equity people paid for Penny, they paid, like some people I know paid 102 to 106, 107, and those people are just like, I have to wait. They have to wait unless they get a deal like a Tariq Cohen And then if you are getting Penny back, you might be able to get a third round, like an extra little pick here, because Cohen was borderline running back one. So if you go for, if you give up a guy like Tariq Cohen, say you're like, okay, I want a number one running back, a guy that can be a three down back in Rashad Penny, which who knows, he can. He was a first round pick. He has the skills. He has the body. He can do it. That is more along the lines of a deal that you'd probably have to make, other than an Austin Eckler, which people see Melvin Gordon in front of him instead of Chris Carson, which some people aren't a fan of.
That's what I mean. Kind of, you kind of have to sell a running back to him that's overhyped. Like, I don't think Tariq Cohen and Austin Eckler's like ceiling is that much different, frankly. But Cohen's got more hype, more potential in terms of points. Yep. And I kind of don't like doing that. I don't want to send them someone I think they're getting less value just because of hype. I mean, don't get me wrong, I will do it to you. It's so I've kind of been playing with wide receivers, but then I'm like, you're actually getting a good player and I'm just getting the potential, and I kind of hate that. Speaking of which, though, I do have another question for you, if you don't mind me taking the wheel. Don't you think people trade badly? Like, I don't think I'm good. But it's easier to read other people's mistakes sometimes. That's fair to say, I think. It's not like I get it right, but I think you can see when other people get it wrong more often. That's why it's easier to comment on something rather than actually try and do it. But, like, if you get a player and he doesn't hit, or he isn't, his value's dropped, essentially, like Penny's has, I think, you know, it's a little game theory maybe, but the idea is you should sell to try and get what you, at least what you've already paid. Because the potential risk and the potential reward takes on a different calculation. Like, if you double down and keep that player, then you're taking a risk of having an even bigger loss, which adjusts that potential of him actually being a success. So I always think that if you bet on a player and his value drops, it's better to take equal value to sustain your team rather than that risk of a second loss in value, if that makes sense.
See, now that makes perfect sense, except for the fact that before we started recording, you were afraid to trade away Trenton Cannon.
Yeah, exactly. But I was saying that as a mistake. But I also think it's draft stock, right? Like, the potential loss where I paid for Trenton Cannon is not going to affect my team. Like, if I lose it twice or four times over. But if you draft someone in the first round, and he had more than first round value for a little while there before the season started, at least in terms of Penny, and then you take a loss, like, you're risking actually having a substantial loss to your team, especially if you double it by not trading them at equal value or close to equal value.
Hope, know what and I mean? Pride.
Like,
hope and pride.
That's why I take the risk on someone like Cannon, whereas, you know, drafting someone to get us on the rookies, I guess, someone like Metcalf seems like a bigger risk, because if you have to make that decision next year, you could actually really affect your team negatively if you get it wrong. Whereas if you take the risk at a Trenton Cannon, I mean, who cares really? I mean, your team's going to be still pretty much the same. I don't know if I've talked too long and you've lost the plot there. Sorry.
No, it looked like yeah.
I'm trying to consume it all, but
essentially, but, just go back to the question, isn't it better to trade a player in their second year if their value drops, especially if they had high value when you actually drafted them?
The thing with trading, though, with me, is it's like a stock exchange. If you have a stock that goes low that had promising upside, you want to wait for that promising upside to hit. You don't want to sell at its lowest value, but I get where you're coming from.
If we're considering them like stocks, though, just value in, value out, that's exactly where game theory comes in. And I'm pretty sure I'm right in the game theory. Like, I read about it once. I'm not a game theory expert, so I might have it wrong. But I'm pretty sure game theory would say you're taking a second additional risk by waiting for that stock to come back. Yeah. It's almost better to get out at equal value once you've suffered that loss. But I could be wrong. And so I was just like,
good example. Good example, Sammy Watkins. He's a guy that had ultimate stock, could sell right when he was a rookie. Rookie year had 1,000 yards. Wasn't it 1,000? Am I wrong? I think he had 1,000.
I can look it up.
Rookie year, second year. But he had a crazy second half of one of the seasons with the Bills, and that was like peak Sammy Watkins. He was probably a second-round startup, second, third-round startup. And that is probably when you should have traded Sammy Watkins to get maximum value. But just the whole entire thought of Sammy Watkins being the best receiver to come out since Julio Jones, the most athletic profile to come out at receiver in a long time. And he's just showing this explosiveness, being a top five wide receiver week in and week out the last part of that season. People get trapped in that. And that's where you kind of got to not try to get trapped in that cage of like, okay, I've got this huge piece of value right now. Do I hang on to it? And I've got like the top five receiver in fantasy, or do I chip it off because I'm getting lucky and getting a chance to trade him?
Yeah, I think that Sammy Watkins makes a good example, especially since I tried to trade for him last season just before he stopped producing. So I actually got lucky and got refused. And that's kind of the whole point. Like, that's a very specific situation, but in general, I think it more works out that way. Like, Watkins had 982 yards in his first season and 1,047 in his second, by the way. So, like, Watkins, I sent an offer on in mid-season when he just started to do a little bit well with the Chiefs. And the team I was trying to trade with, it's a crap team. And to be fair, that was their description. It's like, I'm in pure rebuild, this roster's crap. And I was like, all right, well, give me, you know, Watkins. I'm riding variants. I've got Mahomes. I've got these players outscoring their... outkicking their coverage, frankly. And I'm trying to ride the variance. Watkins fits into that. And I was trying to offer him basically first round rookie value for Watkins. And he was saying no, because Watkins' potential is too high. And to me, that was getting stuck in the same trap. The team had a chance to get out after its roster had been depleted, presumably through continuing to make those kind of bets, at equal value to what the roster had paid for him. And that's when that's, you know, if we're just talking about stock or value, that's kind of what you have to do. Like, you might not like it. You might not like giving up that potential, but you've got to do what you have to do for the value if you're trying to build. And I think someone like Sammy Watkins, because of hype, because of hope, ends up trapping you in that place where you actually perform a double negative value. Because Watkins has since dropped off, and I think his value is lower than it when it was, or about the same when it was when the season started. So they've ended up ignoring a second spike in value again for the potential. I'm just talking now because Tyler walked away. I think he was trying to do it sneakily, so I'm going to bring it up. Yeah. He definitely just abandoned it.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. He's like, screw this, guys won't shut up. I'm just going to, and I was going to let you keep talking just to see how long you'd ramble on for. But the real answer,
I would literally go on all night.
I was going to let it happen, but you stopped. The actual answer
I did.
Is
I did.
The problem with your line of thinking is you are thinking logically. And 99% of fantasy players are not thinking logically. Like you said yourself,
is it
Sammy Watkins has the potential. What was that?
Or is it logical, or am I just mad that guy wouldn't trade me Sammy Watkins? I'm honestly asking, because that was what was my thought process.
Oh, well,
you know, I'm wrong a lot. So, like, does that actually make sense?
Well, yeah, no, because you're right, especially when you're rebuilding. People have a silly thing that they think when they rebuild, they need to just fill their team with dart throws, which is a terrible idea because you'll never actually build anything right with what hit rates are these days. So, like, if you have, like, you know, Sammy Watkins as your third or fourth receiver, then yeah, no, keep that dart throw. But, like, he should not be a main guy you're building around. And the thing is, especially with guys we've seen produce like Sammy Watkins have, his situation has even gotten sort of better from then, that it's going to be impossible for that to get out of people's minds. It's like people will still hold a candle for Jordan Howard because they've seen him do it, and they won't sell him as cheap as he really should be. I mean, I drafted Jordan Howard all over the place at the 203 in his rookie year. I don't own a single share of him anymore. I sold him after his first year, right, all of them. And for like mid firsts, and I don't regret it for a second, even though he was worth an early first at some point, because I think like you think in a lot of places where it's, I trade so much that it's all about value. It's not about what I traded to someone else. Like, oh man, no, Tyler's gone for real now. his little logo disappeared. I mean, it's not that, oh man. Yes, victory. It's not that, oh man, I traded away Jordan Howard and he's worth twice what I traded for. It's that, man, I paid next to nothing for Jordan Howard. Yeah, and I got value for him and I turned that value into something else. I think the people you're talking about are more people that are, they have their team, they like their team, and they don't have a trading problem, and that's their problem. That they're not always trying to better their team. And I people think, that don't trade, and yeah, this is feeding the brand, but people that don't trade or are afraid of trading or don't trade often enough, I mean, they're not making their team better as best they can, let me say. Because yeah, you know, I'm sure you know better than, you can draft better than everyone else. And yes, I'm sure you know that one waiver wire guy to pick up that no one else does, or you'll spend more than everyone else does on that right guy. Of course, you're awesome. I know you are. But I'm not, and I have no shame in admitting that. I am terrible at auctions. I am not really good at drafting, but I can trade like a mofo. That's what I do. That's how I make good teams. We were counting before. I'm in 27 leagues. I will absolutely miss waiver wire weeks on a bunch of leagues. So yeah, I mean, I miss out on, you know, Damian Williams or CJ Anderson, but I could make up for it by making other moves with other teams and making trades. It's a part of making your team better. And for someone to fall in love with their team and not be willing to risk that guy hitting on someone else's team, even though they're getting what could be twice the value they spent, it's a detriment. It's not playing the game to its fullest, I should say.
Right. And like, I'm not saying I'm always logical or I always follow through that, but like, I try and understand where the median is, like make a rule that I don't always have to follow. So at least I know what the landscape is, because I'm not particularly bright or particularly good at this. So I have to have a cheat code to at least understand where I'm at, or where a smart guy would know where the edges are. And I think in general, that's something I'm building. It's if your team needs work and you have potential, then you trade it, if that makes sense. No, I struggle with the other aspects. Speaking of Jordan Howard, like I would have kept hold of him. Because once a player is good, I'm like, no, that's not potential anymore. Like, I almost overvalue the other side of it.
That also just comes from my hate of running backs.
Yeah,
I churn running backs and tight ends. I just, the tight ends has probably come to bit me in the ass a little bit, except for the fact I still own Eric Ebron in almost every single league. But the second the tight end starts churning, I am willing to sell him high to start scoring.
Yeah. Kind of a problem. Every running back on my team is mostly always just potential. It's like I don't have any solid starters back
on anything. I actually have Austin Eckler going into the season was my most owned player. So I have, like, you know, that kind of guy everywhere.
That's exactly it. Like, he's often the best running back I have.
It's just like going into the season, I never had a tight end ranked higher than Kyle Rudolph. He was my highest ranked tight end on any of my team.
Right.
Man, Tyler's not back yet. All right, well, you know what? He's never coming back.
I heard that about him. He's unreliable. Those Mike Evans truthers, they're all like that. That's right.
Man, you know what mistake I made that we're talking about, that I talked about how many leagues I'm in? I'm going to say a warning to everyone out there. Starting leagues is fun, but you know what you need to do? Space them out. I made the horrible mistake of starting three leagues at the same time. So I'm in three startup drafts, one best ball draft, and a dispersal auction. I literally don't know where I am right now. I might be dreaming this podcast. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure you
totally
are.
Totally agree.
Totally agree, guys.
Don't worry, dude.
We
got all the Mike Evans talk out where you were gone. So,
and we did not at all talk about the fact that you walked away in the middle of nowhere.
No, you know what?
We covered both sides fairly, and that's it. Really, that's all we need to say about him.
We're getting like a foot of snow, and my internet's just acting up. I don't know.
You live in Minnesota. How have they not perfected Wi-Fi through snow?
Right. I couldn't tell you.
All right. Well, now that you're back, we're going to move on to actually, you know, the one thing I have written down on this show sheet, because this is,
draft,
I think, the first
doesn't matter.
Damn, man, that is not on the draft. That is not on the sheet. But man, we're going to have to talk about that now. But this is like the first time ever news has happened on the day we're recording. Or is that one of the list of things that is supposed to trigger Pete.
That was something.
Yeah, I'm triggered, man. My rest state is triggered, so don't worry. Already got me. I'm already there.
I don't remember if he said it while we were recording, but Tyler went into multiple chat rooms asking what he could say to just piss off Pete while we were while recording this. And Mike Evans has been brought up now. Draft stock. What did you call him before that was supposed to piss him off? Box score watcher.
I think it was Tyreek Hill, wide receiver one. That's a good one.
Tyreek Hill, wide receiver one. Yeah.
All right. I'm sure we'll find ways to piss off Pete as we go along, but we need to talk about the frickin' Browns. I just raised my voice. Why did the Browns sign Kareem Hunt? Why did they do this to me? Does anyone have a logical reason why they did this?
Because they're awesome. This is the best thing that's ever happened.
Making me cry.
Wait, hold on.
I think he is literally doubling over. He's laughing so hard.
He is. He really is. So when
running
that happens,
running back truth is unite.
When
that's better than guys that are illogical. They'll never fuck us over.
When Kareem Hunt signed with the Browns, a part of Jake Anderson's soul went up in the air, and I felt the pain. Like the hurt from Jake Anderson, I was just like, oh man, like I need to send him flowers or something for his loss.
Why?
Oh, that's good. Let's do it again. Running back's better. It's all true.
So now we know like the best joke in the world to tell Peter. Like if you're out at the bar, be like, yeah, running backs matter. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Just tell me this top five running back just can't possibly go wrong. This NFL team that values running will never fuck me over, ever. They are prone to logical decisions. Actually, to be honest, I kind of like Addison Hayes' point about it. It makes a lot of sense. You can get Kareem Hunt for the same price that you're going to pay to get, you know, anyone on the free agent market this offseason. I mean, who would you rather have? Even if it's only for six games. That actually
Nick
makes a
Chubb,
lot of sense.
That's who I'd rather
have.
It just
have. completely tilts all of fantasy Twitter, and it's perfect. It's wonderful.
I drafted so much Nick Chubb last year.
It was
year.
So fun to watch, though. I will admit that. Like, watching Twitter just blow
And he's
up.
Really good.
It was pretty good. Like, if people with Nick Chubb, like, do I take 105 or Nick Chubb? Like, just the tilting that happened.
Sorry, you're talking to a former Duke Johnson truther who suffered through the Browns, overlooking the fact that Duke Johnson was one of the best players for literally years. It's good to see it happen to someone else. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's your turn to be fucked by the Browns. It's wonderful. Chubb is really good.
He is. Yeah, he is.
Good.
Now, all right.
Do you guys think it's a trading tactic where they're gonna try to get value from him when he's reinstated, kind of like they did with Carlos Hyde? They signed and then traded him, got a fifth.
Yeah, I don't even remember anymore. But that's the only logical thing I can come up with. Like they have two good running backs on their team. Someone pointed out that's where Kareem Hunt is from. Like that's where he grew up, and did he play college?
That's
there,
where maybe? The incident happened. That's
and
where
he didn't get
pressed
charges, so apparently the police like him there. So that's a plus. Yeah, that was probably wrong, but
yeah.
But I'm not going to edit that out.
We'll just switch. The worst thing on Twitter is seeing people say, "I heard Cleveland was looking for a kicker." It's like keep that out of here, like.
Damn, man.
Pete's staying out of it.
All right, we're going to pivot off of that real fast. Since this might actually still be a show about trading in Dynasty Leagues.
Right. Wait, what is this? What is your show called?
I don't even remember anymore. Again, exactly. This might be a dream.
He's in like 23 leagues, dude. Back off.
Seven. Yeah,
he's having a moment.
And I'm probably going to create another one now because now I feel like I need to be in I'm in 18 leagues with you at this point, Tyler. I don't know how that happened, but
yeah, It all happened this year. It went from all in this off season. To seven.
Yeah. But now I feel like I need to be in a league with Peter just because apparently...
I don't think he plays fantasy. I just think he types a number with his Texas Instrument calculator and just goes on with his day.
All right, then that's what I need to be in a league with.
Okay. I saw the opportunity to be in a league with you and Shane, and I'm like, man, the trades I can win against these two, I have to get them in leagues.
Okay, so now let's talk about this. Let's talk about what it's like to trade with Tyler. Just because this is a trade show, we'll talk about some trade tactics. Tyler invites me into the UDPL, the Ultimate Dynasty Podcast League. Is that what that stands for? There you go. Yeah. Got that right in the first try. And I forgot what it was even, but he offers me a trade. And I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to do that. Really? You sure? What if I had a fourth? What's a fourth going to do when we're trying to talk about trading for Deshaun Watson? And then like 5 minutes go by and he's like, I really think you want to take the trade. I'm like, I don't think I do. And then 20 minutes goes by. He's like, you think about the trade? I'm like, no, I'm done thinking about it. I don't want to do it. He's like, what if I add 2/4? Oh my God, Tyler, shut up. Just send me the offer.
What's this guy's Twitter handle? I have to go make friends with him.
So, No joke. I have a trade strategy where I will annoy the crap out of you until you butt and say, fine, I will do this. That is actually a move I've used.
It worked on me. I am not ashamed to admit
marinating.
It worked.
It's like marinating a steak. You got to let it sit in the juices for a little bit, and then you got to beat it a little bit to get it tender, and then finally it's ready.
And I'd say that's a bad idea, but honestly, letting them think about what they've done doesn't work. They just forget what happened. That's what I haven't learned. if you're not gonna do it, they're just gonna forget about it.
I made a trade with Shane today where I'm gonna bring you through the process, and it was glorious.
This is gonna be the longest show ever. Keep going.
This trade talk is gonna be like an hour. So I DM Shane, I'm like, I want Nick Chubb from you. I will give you 102 and 301. And he's like, nah, man, I'll take 102 and 108. So I sit there, I'm like, I can't give two firsts for Nick Chubb. You know, his value's decreased. We both know it. Oh, okay. I take a little break, like 5 minutes. And then I come back and I say 101 for him. And then before he can even answer, I say, fine, I will also give you 2021 second with the 101. And then he says, I'm going to go take a smoke break. Let me think about it. I send him 5 messages within the span of 5 minutes of going, come on, hurry, like waiting gifts, like do it now gifts. Finally, he goes on and accepts it.
And I bet you he was like, just fine. Oh, I don't even want to do this.
Why do you think he had to go have a cigarette? The stress was getting to him.
I don't know if that's a lesson I wanted to teach the people listening to this show, but I think that just happened.
No, in all honesty, you got to know the people that you're training with. I know Shane's more of a panic trader per se. I know he likes, if news happens, he likes to react instantly. And this is where Leo Pasiga, I think his name is, he tells you to keep a book of people you trade with, people you're in leagues with, and tells you to keep a book on their strategies, what they like, what they don't like. And when you're in a league, well, when you're in like 27, you need a freaking daily journal or something.
Yeah, I have a 1980s trapper keeper going.
Just huge. A library full of teams that you're playing against. It's a really good strategy to have, because I've only been in a league with Shane for two months, but I've kind of gotten an idea of how he trades. Like, we're in with Memphis. Memphis is a guy that is willing to trade, but he definitely is going to need a little more than what is quote unquote fair. But you're going to need to pay up for a player that you like, and he knows it. So if you want a player from Memphis, you're going to have to pay up. Shane, he's a reactor. You, I can just I can just give you the old wink and smooch face. Oh, and
I am
done.
So easy. It's not even funny. But I embrace
Peter,
it.
Peter, I feel like you just give him a week of rolling his cigarettes and it's a done deal.
I was trying to think. Like, I'm not particularly tough, but like if something meets my value, I just accept it. I'm not like, I wonder if I can get a third out of that. I just
like, and you're saying you don't think you're too logical?
No, like, I don't think I'm too tough. Like, the first thing me and Jake ever did together in a league was he sent me an offer. I think it was Dalvin Cook for Julio Jones. I was like, yeah. And I accepted. And it was like, man, he got on the group chat and was like, this Pete's really easy to deal with. I was like, haha, got it. Because the rest of the time, like, I'm the, like, if you dig in, I'm like nothing more than leaning in, even though it's a really bad strategy in most things. Like, I'll just lean in so far. Like, I'm trying to think of like ideas, but this is tough, guys. I never thought about this with your podcast, but like, I don't want to sound like I'm making fun of anyone, especially players that are better than me in my leagues. But like, there's someone that wants Brandon Cooks in my league, and like, I value him as a top 12 wide receiver. I did before last season, and nothing this season changed that. But he keeps sending me offers that just to me look below that. And I'm like, and the first time I was like, you know, that's just not where I have Cooks. And the next time I sent him an offer and he sent me another offer with Cooks in it, again, with Cooks' value just well below where I'd said it was. And like, well, now kind of off to the races. Like, now it's fun for me. Now I'm like, five firsts for Cooks or nothing. Like, he is dying on my roster in this league. It's like, if he actually wants Cooks, and I don't even know if he does. He's a smart guy. Maybe he's just trying to get me to dig in. But Cooks is probably like Jordan Matthews. Like I said before the show, that guy's probably going to retire from his next job on my roster. Like,
I really want to do it. This is where you sell Cooks cheap to someone else in the league. That's how you start. That's how you can go lower. That's how you can dig in more.
And then you just send him the staring eye gif to a DM of him, be like, that just happened.
Yeah, like, I'm sure it's a bad idea, but if someone tries to convince me that someone's value is lower than what I have it, unless it's a really good argument and honestly true and I was wrong and I can see that straight away, I'm more likely to argue back. Like, I don't think anyone who's ever followed me on Twitter is surprised by the fact my first instinct is to disagree. So, like, if you try and convince me of something, I'm like, how are you wrong? That's my first thought. It's like the worst way to go at me.
Yeah. That's so annoying when people try to tell you some player's value is lower. Even though I just did it to Shane's day. But anywho.
I totally did that, and it's such a dick move. But yeah, no.
It's such a dick move. But man, it works.
It's a really, really frustrating way to live your life. Like, your first thought is always, how is this person wrong? Especially when other people are generally right. Like, that's negative EV right
like
there.
Like, Mike Evans being like, way higher valued than what you think he is.
Fair warning.
that's a dream of mine. I have dreams of you owning Mike Evans in a league and me being like, yes, I can get him for cheap.
And then somehow you end up paying like Juju
for him.
I dream How did this happen? This is just years of setup by Peter. That's all it was.
That's the thing, right? Like, I dream of being in a league trying to offer trades for him because I'm like, oh good, I now get to dominate for 7 years. I will take first round picks. I will take Antonio Brown, thank you. Let's see, what else can we add in here? That would probably be what.
Yeah, speaking of Antonio Brown trade,
me and you would never get a trade happening. Let's say that's what we're learning.
But I would, okay, there's one person I have not been able to break, and it's Izzy from the Dynasty Trade Calculator. He's been able to figure out people's kind of way with trades pretty easily. And him, I can't get. I just can't do it. Like, I tried to buy low on Gurley. It was like a 101 and 108. And I know it was super low, but it was like, why not? And the instant I sent it, he's like,
I just sent.
Yeah, the instant I sent it, he sends me a message back being like, I am very insulted that you would send me something like that. I'm like, I'm very insulted that you would think I would not send you something like that at this moment.
Now, what you got to do is make a very, very terrible offer, but put it into his trade calculator that shows that it's even. and be like, no, look, this is yours. And, you know, it says it's even, like eight guys for a girly.
The calculator shows that it's fair. You have to do it.
You have to, by law. Yeah.
Don't you love it when people do that? They like load up their side of the trade with a bunch of second, third round picks and top 24 players, and then ask you for like the best guy at the position. And like the trade calculator says it's even. I'm not falling for that, dude.
That's more when you see that. Yeah, when you see that they put the first rounders in for like 2020, and it's like an early 2020 first. Like, okay, I see what you did there. You put it as an early 2020.
Right.
Yeah, that's when I pull out my my dad pants, and I'm like, that's a bunch of quarters you're selling for my nice crisp dollar right over there. Like some really horrible cliche.
Why do you need dad pants for that?
Because it's a horrible dad saying. It's
because you do. Okay, you gotta wear the dad pants. You just do. Look,
I have pants for different sayings. You know, when I want to sound cool, I have my skinny jeans. When I have my dad pants, which I'm not really sure what dad pants look like.
I feel like tucked in with a polo. Like you have a polo tucked in
t-shirt. Oh my god, my dad tucks in his t-shirts, and I hate him for it. Wow, that just got a little therapeutic.
Don't question the successful podcaster among us. Okay, Tyler, just let him do his thing. Is there anything more guaranteed to make sure a trade does not happen than saying it's even on a trade calculator, or you need to check the trade calculator, or hey, look at this trade calculator, or the trade calculator says, like, if you mention trade calculator, you're basically not getting the trade done, right?
Oh, I can tell you something that's worse than that. Look, you know, this guy on your team is just kind of terrible. Let me tell you why he's terrible. And let me tell you why the guys I no longer want on my team are fantastic, and why it should work for you.
Okay, you would.
Yeah,
that's true.
And if that doesn't get him, just annoy the crap out of him.
Yeah, it worked.
It's great.
Man, I wish I had the patience to keep a notebook.
Yeah, me too. Like the Leo's idea is so good there, and I just don't have the knack.
I tried to do it for just one league, and I couldn't even do it. That's also because I get bored and I send too many offers, and then I have to try and keep track of all the offers I sent, and I just
good news.
I'm a pain in the ass. I think that's the problem.
Good news.
Do you guys have home leagues?
Yeah.
Do you, Pete?
No, not really. No.
Okay. Well. In home leagues, do you have issues of trying to send a trade and it's honestly fair, honest in your heart, it's fair, and you have somebody DM you in a home league and be like, what are you trying to pull here?
Right?
That is my worst. I have my best friend is in four dynasty leagues with me, home leagues, and every time I offer him a trade, he's like, what do you know that I don't? And I'm like, right. Nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I would not hurt you. You're my best friend. Come on. And he's like, seriously, what are you trying to pull here? I don't think I made a trade with him in probably 4 years just because he thinks I'm always trying to screw him over. I know something.
See, that's when I pulled out. I'm offended you would think of me like that. We've been friends for how long, and you think I would take advantage of you like that?
I would.
No, but seriously, give me Brandon Cooks for a third. Really, he's trash.
Sounds like a really smart man. I will say, I might not have any specific home league. I got leagues I like more than others, but I honestly never have that problem. No one ever suspects I know more than them. I'm actually pretty safe from that. Like being on, you know, that guy's shrewd. That guy knows what he's doing. I better not risk this.
See, the real secret is no one in my home leagues know I have a podcast.
Don't you want listens? Like, don't you want people to like, oh, this guy knows his stuff. Oh, okay. Yep. There it is. I answered my own question. Never mind. We'll just.
There you go. People in my home leagues are, we'll call them casuals, isn't even really a nice word for, they're normies. They're just like, they're not
even mixed redraft with dynasty type values. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, my home leagues are not great. Let's just put it that way. I have them to entertain like two friends that want to be in Dynasty but are too afraid to go into like Twitter leagues, and are one of them is even too afraid to get Twitter. So yeah, that's my home leagues, which is why I complain about them often.
Speaking of getting people on Twitter, my best friend, as I was talking about, I convinced him to get on Twitter. And when he did, he got hacked. And he was in a group chat with some people that he was in a league in. It was a league that he joined as a Twitter league. And his Twitter got hacked. And then his picture changed to a naked woman. So all of a sudden, he starts chatting in the chat, just random things like, oh, how's it going tonight, big guys? And I'm like, what the heck just happened? And I look, and it's got his name still, but it's got this picture. And then it says that. I'm like, all right, I got to text him. Something's not right. Like, unless he's changed something about himself that I had no idea he was planning on doing. And yeah, he got hacked. So he's actually staying away from Twitter. I told him, like, that rarely happens.
Don't you love that? Like, the one in a million that happens after the 3 years of trying to get a guy to join Twitter or something like that.
Oh, it's so funny, though. Like, everybody's like, what just happened? Is something happening with him?
Oh, you should have left that. You should have left the Russian bot in the chat room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. That would make the league more interesting.
I mean, I love
it. No, it's a real dynasty league.
Ooh, real fantasy league, even.
Yeah, that was probably better. Better joke there. Yeah. All right.
Maybe I'll do some editing and that, yeah, I'll actually put it in like that was the first joke.
Do you like a robot voice or put your voice in front of mine? You know?
Yeah, he's not doing that.
I'm not doing that at all. Even if I could, I would not. I do not
it's
have
super
the
easy energy to do that. Pete can help you. He's good with the numbers and the.
Yeah, get your TA-84 out here and. Fix my podcast with your calculator.
You know, still, math. You must do computer-like things. That's right.
Wait, math? There's what, I was told there was no math.
Okay.
No, you know I have some.
We're going to keep a little bit of resemblance of a Trade Addicts podcast, and we're going to talk about a Trade Addicts trade. Trade Addicts League's 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium. This is also a little on brand because in UDPL, Shane is trying his hardest to unload Sony Michel. So this is a Sony Michel trade in Trade Addicts 2. And this just shows how off Shane is. TJ Yeldon, Robbie Anderson, and the 106 for Sony Michel.
I'm taking Sony there still.
Yeah, me too.
I just think if you can't get 101 or 102 for Sony, don't do it. Especially in the way the running back landscape is, because running backs matter completely. I don't know if you know this, but running backs completely matter. But sorry, I can't keep a straight face. I can feel the heat coming from Pete through my screen right now.
What? Running backs matter. It's the fact of life. Just got to deal with it.
I recorded with Izzy yesterday in the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast, and we were talking about what would you rather have, Sony Michel or the 101, and both of us right away said Sony. So, like, with what you're saying, I like TJ Yeldon. I own him on a lot of teams right now because I want him to go somewhere. He can be a good, I mean, not necessarily third down back, but we saw he can handle a workload until he gets hurt, like he seems to do a lot. Robbie Anderson, again, seemed like he was doing really well at the end of the year, and the 106 is nice looking, but who knows what the hell that is in this kind of draft. But nickels for a dollar, my dad pants on. Like, this is breaking down a piece more than I like to be broken down into. Sony Michel, they used him a lot in the playoffs. So while they also used Rex Burkhead a lot, and they also still use James White a lot, so Michel still got his work. He's still in three games, ran for over 400 yards, I think it was, and got the touchdown and all the goal line work in the Super Bowl. So while running backs don't matter. I was going to try and work in that they do, but they don't. I don't know if I could buy a running back for more than the 101. I still think Sony is worth more than the 101.
I think top five running backs matter in fantasy an awful lot, week to week, maybe not year to year at all, like trade top five running backs, but in season, the top five running backs, the most important piece. And Sony Michel has that upside, so he should be valued that way. New England on the side, he does. And I wasn't particularly high on him in that draft, so that's, you know, a hard thing for me to admit. Like, I wasn't low on him, but I was at consensus. you know, not to knock your dad pants metaphor, which is clearly the superior one, but the way I always think of it is, you know, the Sony Michel team is asking the TJ Yeldon team to take on three extra roster spots. And I've got to make my Trent and Cannon bet somehow. And I just don't have the space. And I'm not even joking about that. People undervalue roster spots. Like, if you want to win, you've got to be good with the space that you have on your roster. So that's the tiebreaker for me here.
No, that is also, I mean, that is a very, I won't say a very good point, but it's a point that you just made. Roster spots do matter, especially because, like I said before, in a very sarcastic tone, that people think that they're smarter than everyone else. So everyone likes to think that their bottom of the roster guys are going to hit. Very rarely do you have guys on your roster just because you want to have the full roster. Like, you believe in the guys at the bottom. So you have to think, not only is Sony Michel worth these three guys, but add in those two guys you then have to drop to fill your roster. I mean, again, you're talking bottom of the roster, so it shouldn't be too much to think about, but it is another layer of information to process.
Just looking at the package, is there a player that occurs to you that you would trade that for? Like, I was looking at it, I was like, that's the package you try and trade for someone like Tyler Boyd, who's a little undervalued, but is solid, and his value is higher than any one of the pieces. But I didn't know if someone else had a better player.
This package is something like you, like T.Y. Hilton, some older
that's
guy.
That's too high. You are clearly an ageist, and we are fighting now.
Hey, no,
that quickly, my man. We are now.
You have to check my GIF usage and any poll that involves T.Y. Hilton. I reply T.Y. till you die in all capitals and give the GIF of him doing the T.Y.
All that work just thrown away in an instant. That's all.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Yeah, you're fading because you're backtracking right now.
Gotcha. I was trying to use a man as an example, not the value. What you do is what this kind of offers. What you do for if you have an old guy on a team that doesn't need old guys.
I mean, that's who you want. Don't get me wrong. That'd be a great trade. That for T.Y. Hilton. I was just thinking more of if you were happy with both sides more than the guy that you want. See, you're too much of a trader. You've got that aggressiveness. You're like, I'm going to get T.Y. Hilton. And that's a great move.
I love T.Y. Hilton.
Yes, you do. I'm sorry I said you didn't.
I felt attacked.
Yeah, but right he's there. Like 29 years old. You guys can't tell,
but there's like a tear rolling down his cheek. So I've really got to back up here. Like, I've hit a nerve. I'm sorry.
T.Y. Hilton's good. He's just old. Like, he's like 29. He's gonna be 30.
Get the man a walker, seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. How about a Rascal? Are those allowed on the field?
He's no good anymore, obviously.
Just scooting around.
I mean, that's the future of the NFL segues.
I'd take T.Y. Hilton on a segue over those three guys, put it that way.
T.Y. Hilton or DK Metcalf?
T.Y. Hilton. Stop kidding yourself.
T.Y.
Hilton or DK Metcalf's abs.
Oh God, abs.
You mean okay. I could? Have,
oh my God, that.
I mean,
picture.
They would be on my body. Yeah, I'd take yes. abs. That would be awesome. I'd take that.
So yeah. He doesn't have a belly button, by the way, in that picture. I swear, there's no belly button there. Which
it's
means
hidden by the abs. Abs have grown over his belly button.
He's not human.
He has a 7-pack.
I feel like you guys stared at that picture just a little too in depth. Like, you
I still
too much
don't
detail
have pants on.
Are you kidding? Like, I couldn't take my eyes off it no matter how much I wanted to. I was like a moth to a flame.
Who even wears pants
anymore? It's true.
Anymore?
So you're telling me if you don't see somebody who's like physically built and just gifted with the physical ability, you don't sit there and be like, God, I hate myself. I hate myself so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do that. I do that to regular-looking people. I'm like, damn, I wish I could have that body. I'm just saying, maybe we shouldn't, you know, study every inch of them. I mean, it'd be cross.
Well, I just didn't see a belly button, because the guy next to him had a real deep belly button.
All right.
Did you get it out of magnifying glass on this?
The analysis went much further than I went into the picture.
Detective Tyler?
I'm just saying, like, it's visible on the other guy next to him. So he's like, okay, there's a big black hole here. There's nothing there. Just saying, this got weird. All right, let's move on. Cool.
We need Jack.
Can we move on from that?
So I want to move on to that, the email, the trade proposal.
Okay.
So he messaged me back and he said, see, here's a strategy coming at you, Pete. Ready? Take some notes. He emailed me back and he's like, I want to get rid of Antonio Brown. So I know instantly he's trying to sell him. So, and he goes, so I want Geis with him, but I'm trying to figure out a player to add on your side. And I said, one for what? Send it. Only thing I said. So then he sends Darius Geis and Cortland Sutton for Antonio Brown. What is your move, Pete?
I take Antonio Brown.
Really?
Yeah, easily.
The value is just not right.
Well, then the value.
It's not the value. It's a fact I know that he's trying to ship him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can get him cheaper. That's a straight strategy. Key in on words that people are messaging you. That's why I like to message people when trading. So you can key in on some words that they say. Instead of just going back and forth, counter, you talk to them and be like, okay. You play a little detective, like you're saying, magnifying glass out.
Can you tell me what kind of belly button you have?
Describe it.
Without that, I can't deal him. I mean, the trades is not my favor if he's got a huge innie.
No, to me, that's just, I'm not going to risk losing Antonio Brown at that value. Like, why would I? Like, I'm already winning. Why do I need to put him in the ground?
Now, question. Would you guys rather have Corlin Sutton or Sammy Watkins?
Sutton. I can't help but go on value. Sutton just has more value, whether it's perceived or fantasy.
And that's the thing. I did neither, and I went D.D. Westbrook. Go with the lowest offer.
Oh, well, yes. I like D.D. Westbrook.
I do, too. And I regret our trade we made in the listener league.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got him from you. I don't remember what it was for, but...
MVS.
Oh, yeah, no, that was terrible on your part. I totally won that.
Yeah. All right. Pete has muted us. He is now chatting with the lady. He's probably in trouble. We're giving you a play-by-play right now.
No,
he's now back. The headphones came off and everything. He looks defeated right now, everybody. He looks very defeated.
He's seconds from rolling up another cigarette just to take a deep breath, inhale, exhale, look around. Just think about the decisions he's made recently in his life.
That's cheating, though, because that's true nearly at any given moment. I think I'm lower on Cortland Sutton than Sammy Watkins, if we can go back to wherever you've gone on from. I think you're probably right in the value. People probably got Sutton over him in terms of what you can get for him in trade, so I might do it for that reason. But honestly, I don't lean either way. Same position trades are normally always a bad idea.
Frankly. Yes. But I mean, he was trying to decide who to throw into the deal. That's why he's asking who we value more. I absolutely agree. Same value, same position, especially same tier trades are just the dumbest thing in the world to me. It doesn't make sense. I've ranted about that a few times, so we're not going to waste time on that again.
Kind of like a trade Izzy and I made, Carson Wentz for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that was awful.
I love it. I'm a Carson Wentz believer. I love Carson Wentz. I will always stay true to Carson Wentz, our Lord and Savior. But
he's the ginger that actually, made it to a high level of whatever he does.
When that happens, you have no idea how much we just have to hold on to the glory. We thought we had Andy Dalton, and he failed us, so we had to move on to somebody else. Ed Sheeran isn't good enough. I'm sorry, but that's not going to work for us.
I went to an Ed Sheeran concert. It was magical. Nothing.
Tears were just rolling down my eyes the whole concert. I couldn't do it. Pete, what's up? You look disgruntled.
Not much. I was assuming most of this is going to be cut, so I was just waiting.
Zero of this is going to be cut.
The funny thing is I know none of this is getting cut.
Two things are being cut from this entire thing, and that is the two F-bombs you've dropped so far. That's it.
Oh. Did I miss those?
I mean, I'm used to listening to it, because otherwise I literally don't edit. I'll just add the tracks at the beginning and the end and call it a day. unless I realize that there's sometimes if we're recording late and towards the end of the podcast, I let a lot of gaps in between my words. Like I'll
like now
try and think of something to say, and I know that's better than the umming and ahhing. I cut out those gaps. That's the only editing I do.
I spend a lot of time cutting out, or I go on for like 2 minutes. I'm not really saying anything or anything new. I'm like repeating myself while I think. I stop doing that. It's better just to shut up.
I never edit content. I will only, for a while, Brian and I were terrible. Like, Brian and I so much. I knew what the sound wave looked like.
I know what
I didn't have to listen. I see it coming up like, oh no, let me just delete that real quick before I
just delete. Yeah. I can go through before I listen to it and just take out a ums if I wanted to.
Yeah. Yep.
So but now I don't need to do that.
The worst part is I've done this for almost 3 years now, three and a half, and with me, I've switched out to and I or you know. Mm-hmm. You know is a big word for me, you know?
Right.
And I
you're Minnesotan. I mean,
don't you know?
Don't you
know? Oh gosh, like that tuna fish casserole. Oh. Fantastic. You betcha.
You betcha.
Man, ladies love it. Ladies love it, Pete.
I'm getting a little verklempt right here. I mean,
don't you know?
Oh man, on this note, I think we can wind down a bit. I don't even remember when we started recording, but we also, I mean, if I did edit for content, this podcast would be about 16 minutes long.
I would say less.
Shouldn't we try to get the listener questions at least, just in case they struggled through it this far? At least so, you know.
Make them listen to it. Like, yeah, like tease them a little bit. Hey, we answered your question, but you got to.
Yeah, that's what I'm
going to
do. That's the one thing.
And also,
I'll
we've got to talk rookies. Like that's what you promised me.
Oh, no, ew. I don't know how to talk rookies until you tell me how to think of them. So there's no point in you talking about them on this show. So,
cool. Yeah, let her know that you've made a commitment to me, and until that is satisfied, she won't see you again. That's just how it is. I'm sorry.
Every night after she falls asleep, we'll come downstairs. We'll have our little meetings.
I'm writing it down.
I'll set up some candles in this area behind me over here. You have a nice black backdrop already.
I don't believe you're so wowed by my black sheet.
Because like you have low tech improvise. Like look behind Tyler. Look behind me. Wow, it's just the rest of the room.
The thing is with Pete though is like I'm waiting for him to just start improvising. Like it's like an acting class going on in his room, and he's just gonna start improvising. Yeah, and scene.
Lion face, ha! Lemon face,
like The Office, Agent Michael Skarn.
I'm offended for my people. That's what I have to say.
Whoa!
And what people are you offended by?
I have no people. That's why I can say it. You see, I can speak for all of my people, for I am all of my people.
I still gotta figure out where you're from, because that accent, I tried to get that from you in a chat, and you were just not budging. You were going left when I was trying to make you go right. Like, you were going way left, and I'm sitting here like...
That sounds like me.
Forget it. forget it.
The real rub is that he is a Twitter bot that just in sentence.
And Twitter bot brought to life. It's true.
People like listening to people disagree in nice accents. Oh! There's Peter.
Yeah. I think his Twitter account might be a Twitter bot because he knows the analytics and all that stuff, knows numbers. He probably typed in some algorithm to the computer and it's just like automatically putting things on Twitter for him. Like anything with Mike Evans, disagree on. Go find it. Disagree.
If Mike Evans, comma.
Yeah.
Well, I'm technically a millennial, and so rather than put in the actual work of reading tweets and responding to them, it just made sense to build something to do it for me, so I could sit around and like eat. What do millennials eat?
Well, if you're anywhere like 35 or under, you're millennial. So you're speaking to like everybody on this earth, hopefully.
To me today, and it seriously made me stop and reconsider everything I know about the world. Julian Edelman is a millennial.
Yeah.
The entire NFL is a millennial.
Yeah. Sink.
Tom Brady's probably the only player that might not be.
Adam Vinatieri. That dude's like a millennial's grandfather.
He's the guy that hits a jukebox when he walks into the locker room.
Hey. Wait, you know what a jukebox is. You're not a millennial.
Yeah.
Was there a question we started with, or did we just, you know?
No.
You know, Pete, don't try to get this back on track.
Yeah, no.
I'm not even trying.
Don't stop us from being us, Pete.
Like, this idea was basically, let's put three cats in a room and see if they'll walk in a straight line together. It's like,
we're the just worst pissing idea. Everywhere.
We all clearly need a co-host to keep us on track. Like, this was not the setup that we needed. We needed
that's what my job was supposed to be.
That is what his job was supposed to be. This is why I need Brian. So, Brian, if you actually do listen to this, this is why I need you. So, all that stuff about me firing you, it's never true.
I forgot my job. I'm sorry.
I have seriously been
Let's start over. Starting it over. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a training problem.
I told you, I'm bored. Let's just go for like 4 hours.
Let's do it again. I'll do it again. I would say I've been listening to the Trade Addicts podcast since you started and enjoying it. I've been really looking forward to coming on the show, and this is what I get. Like, not that it's not fun, but I don't feel I've had the Trade Addicts experience, if you know what I mean. Like,
what is that supposed to mean?
Like, I wasn't put
there. Is that because I'm here?
Yeah, of course. God. There's something about my nature that just really rubs at you, and it's fun. It really is. It's fun on Twitter because you don't actually get offended by it, which works. You know, it's fun to tilt just for fun. And I seem to
be. So I got a new trade. I think I like this one. Darius Geist and James Washington for Antonio Brown.
Ooh, I mean, you should do that.
James Washington shouldn't be that much lower than Courtland Sutton, but I'd still do that. Yeah,
yeah. I just shut it down again. Sorry.
No, sorry. I just, you know what? I felt in a good mood. I accepted it. I'm gonna roll with it. Just roll. I mean, I typed in my analytical data to see which players were better in my trade calculator and also my algorithm I have on my computer. And it showed that the 94.3 to the other side of 84.7 was actually in my favor.
Yeah, that's what this podcast totally talks about. You're I didn't understand a word you just said.
What'd you say?
I said, just
I'm from Minnesota. I take things really personal.
You should try watching the film sometime. Get your head out those numbers.
Jake, if you are listening, capture that recording right there and save it. And
no, wait, I wasn't listening. I zoned out. What did he say?
He said, watch the tape. Get your head out of the numbers.
I'll never admit to it.
We've got that on. We got that recorded. I can't believe it. It's like capturing Bigfoot right now.
I'm going to send that snip to Gabe so he can sample that in your opening.
It's also like every fourth tweet. So, you know.
Just when you think people are like, God, he's all about numbers. That's when you throw in the, watch some film. Wait, what? What just happened?
So there you go. That's the real way to get ahead of people when you're trying to trade with them. Make no sense. Completely contradict yourself in every other sentence, and no one will ever have the upper hand on you.
That's honestly
that is my life.
Podcast.
That is my life. I don't make any sense. My wife looks at me half the time like I'm an idiot, and I sit there. I'm like, good talk. And I give her the double barrels, the two shooters. Good talk.
You put your dad pants on before you do the double barrel. Good stuff.
Of course, I tuck my shirt in every day. I'm a man.
What is it with you guys and pants? Seriously. Pants are so like 2012.
Well, we're not pants wearing them like now, socks. So we have to talk about them like we are.
Pants are like socks. And yes, Scott Fish, socks are the worst.
It's a
different podcast. Scott Fish makes fun of me because I hate socks, and he thinks new socks are amazing, and I think socks all in general are absolutely terrible. I think they just torture your feet.
See, I'm like sport socks. I don't have a choice, so I wear fancy socks.
It's like smothering your feet. It's like putting a pillow over your feet's face.
What do your shoes smell like at the end of the day without wearing socks?
I walk around all day.
Real lesson here.
I walk around a lot. I work in a hospital. I got to walk around a lot.
So, so you're on your feet all day.
I hate shoes. I would rather if there was hospital sandals. I'm in 100%.
That is the one place you should not be barefoot, man.
Give me like, what if Crocs made sandals for hospitals? Yes.
All right, let's get on Shark Tank.
I think I just lost half my following, by the way, right here, right now.
You think people listen to this? That's the difference right there. No one that follows you actually listens to this.
Don't be so hard on yourself, man.
I have to pretend to be grounded and humble so people still think I'm nice.
You're big time now. You're DLF.
That's still weird. That is still weird.
Isn't it, though?
Yes. Big plug for DLF. You guys do great things. So whoever, you know, runs the place, great stuff.
You're such a good co-host. I love how you just wrangled that in. You just
wrangled it
in. Come back anytime.
I don't know what it is, but I'm way better on my podcast, which you didn't even let me plug.
You're the co-host. You're part of this show. You're not plugging. Man, yeah, we're getting to that point where I'm going to start putting gaps in between. I used to have one.
Oh, wow. Jesus. It got depressing.
R.I.P. puppy.
All right. So let's get to listener questions. How about that?
2 hours in, we're going to get to listener questions. Fine. Let's do it. Let's put out a 2.5 hour episode. Okay.
Pete's in it. People love Pete.
I was going to say, you won't even have to tell him I'm on. You'll just say it's a 2.5 hour episode, and anyone that knows me will be like, oh, you asked Pete on.
That guy just rambles and rambles.
All right. No, we were talking about mistakes people make. There you go. This is how a real host does it.
Like we're bringing asking them on this podcast. I'm kidding. I'm so happy I joined. I'm not bored.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm super happy you joined too. Really.
God. This guy. I'm pointing, by the way, everybody else listening.
Dirty Bird Dynasty at Bird Dynasty wants to know, what is one of the biggest mistakes you see and or hear that people make in the off season? Giving away picks too early, selling picks for too little, etc. Something you guys always do and are just like, why? He put a lot of whys at the end and exclamation question. That's why I did the emphasis like that.
Selling too low on players, injured players, definitely. That would be a huge mistake. Player gets injured, value decreased. For sure, coming on a podcast with Peter Howard. And then another one would be...
He's really trying. He just keeps swinging, missing. Keep going, Tyler. I'm
not a baseball player, but...
I don't understand the metaphor.
But, yeah, it's got to be the injured player thing. Andrew Luck last year was a huge example of why I'm looking at Carson Wentz and buying, because his value's low. I'm a huge fan of the talent. I love what I've seen. And Andrew Luck was going as the 10th flex leagues last year in startups, which was ridiculous. And now he's what, quarterback 2, right behind Mahomes. That is what you need to look at for value. Say people are going to come at you hard for a player that's undervalued no matter what. You have Andrew Luck, people are going to keep coming at you like, hey, sell him for this, hold. Because his value can only rise, especially with the injury. People are going to tell you that, oh, he's washed, he's all that. Just don't listen to it. Stick with him. He will return value, especially with an elite player like an Andrew Luck or a Carson Wentz. And you will be happy you held. You just got to be patient.
Patience. That is definitely off-brand for this show. Peter, anything you see other people doing that you think was the wrong way to do things?
I'll play what Tyler said. We could just play what Tyler said again.
All right.
No,
well,
I mean,
input what he said into you a Russian bot and make it out of your voice.
I think what Tyler said is wrong.
You're just disagreeing.
Also, I think value is a really good, strong place to start. It's the way you understand, like I was saying, I try to understand what the value is, but you shouldn't be so afraid of value. You're not willing to make a trade that is negative value based on consensus. So that's the thing about Andrew Luck. He was like outside the top 14 QBs at one point this offseason, but he never went below QB3 in any draft or any trade that I did. Because the things people were afraid of, I was not afraid of. I thought people were counting stuff that couldn't be counted yet. And so I was willing to take him higher. And so I was willing to take loss to get Andrew Luck if it was a super flex or a 2QB league, because that just made sense to me. Like, it might be negative value, but it's okay to do that. If you have a pros, if you know the bet you're making, you know you're technically losing value, but you think you're right. I think that's also how you can win, right? Just being right sometimes, or enough times that other people are wrong. I think it's really important to understand the value. Most trades should be evaluated that way, but you should never be worried to take a loss based on consensus value, because if the consensus was right, you know, we'd all draw for first place every year.
Yeah, no, okay, that does go along with what we like to say, is just go get your guy. And that means it doesn't matter if, like you said, value is different from what everyone else thinks, because if you think that guy's right, go get him.
Yeah, just understand the bet you're making, right? I'm betting on an outlier, so I know what is reasonable to give up for that. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, go get him.
What I'll say is something, a conversation I get into almost every single day on Twitter these days, because I am Mr. Twitter Trade Poll. That's just sort of what I do. Stop caring about your starting lineup in February.
Hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
If I do this, like right now, everyone's like, this and this trade, this is the rest of my team. I literally at one point said, I don't care about the rest of your team right now. All you're doing in the offseason is gaining value. That's all you care about. And it lines in both with what you two were just saying. All that matters is value right now. You are almost literally the furthest point from having to set a starting lineup than you will ever be. Football literally just ended. So who cares if you're going to be weak at wide receiver two? I mean, what does that even mean right now? No one knows what anyone is really going to be. So all you could do is deal with value right now. If you could do a trade that's going to add value to your team, and again, assuming you actually continually try to make your team better through the offseason and not just this is the only trade you're going to make. If this is the only trade you are going to make, then by all means, worry about your wide receiver too. But if you're going to continuously be active and try and make your team better, don't worry about it. Just make your team better value-wise. Raise the bar, because you'll be able to turn that into players you need when it's time to need them.
Nailed it.
See, I like this. I like when people agree with me. It's fun. All right. Well, we answered a question. I think we've done our duty.
You shunning us off? You just throwing us away now?
He just hates us, Tyler. I'm getting personally offended at this point.
I mean, I've been dropping hints for the past 2 hours, and you guys are just now picking up.
I know, we're just completely ignoring the fact you need to go to bed.
I thought I got Tyler to walk away at one point, but he just came back.
He just came right on back.
My frosted internet is definitely an issue.
You'll come out in the middle of the night for a drink of water or to go to the bathroom, and we'll just be still staring at you through the screen like, where'd you go? Where'd you go, buddy?
Just waiting.
That was a really long break.
Guys, are you? I come back to noise. Just noise. What the hell is going on in there?
Oh, crap. But yes, I want to go to sleep. Because I'm like, where the hell do you even live, Peter? Are you real? Are you in the East Coast?
I'm Austria.
No, I live in Kentucky.
Put another shrimp on the Bobby. Yeah, at least somebody got it.
Pizza Millennial, he wouldn't know.
Yeah, damn youngins. Dumb and Dumber, look it up, man. Come on.
Man.
Well, I want to gratefully thank two behemoths of the Dynasty community for coming on this no name of a show and just
instant
credit. Just lie anymore. Like,
do you got enough Kleenex to wipe that brown off your nose right now?
I've long sleeves on. I'm just gonna
perfect. You're gonna wash that after, hopefully.
Like, normally people suck up to like good people or people that can help.
Oh, I will suck up to anybody who pays attention to me. That's just my go-to. That's how I get friends. I'm just really nice to everybody.
So just a heads up, I came on tonight thinking, okay, I'm gonna own this podcast, I'm gonna do what I do, but man, it is clear Doug and Tim carry my show, and I am so happy for them. I am just ecstatic.
Happens, you come on the Trade Addicts podcast, you learn a little bit about yourself.
I learned everything. I need to go apologize to my wife. I need to call my parents. I need to call my parents and tell them I love them and just I'm sorry for turning out the way I did. Like, there are so many things I need to do.
Awesome. All right. Well, since I don't even know anymore, Peter, remind people who you are, what you do, where they find whatever you do. You do things? I don't know anymore.
Yeah, where he types up in the calculator.
Okay. Thanks for that lead in there, Outhouse. I really appreciate that. Yeah, my name again is Peter Howard. I'm at PA Howdy on Twitter. I co-host a show with Jake Anderson, Jake Anderson FF, The Dynasty Crossroads, where we talk about one player at a time from both a film and a metrics point of view. Right for DLF. Mostly you can just find me on Twitter, right? Really. Just me.
One more thing, Peter. Why don't you guys have Bone Thugs and Harmony Crossroads as your intro? It's always been mind blowing to me. Like, it's right there. See you at the crossroads.
Have you heard our introduction?
It's right there. Like, it's right in front of you guys.
See, that right there tells me you've never listened, because if you've ever listened to Zach Reed or Gabe sing our intros, you'd know why.
About,
you don't have any.
How about Zach sings it? I think he could do that.
I'm sure he changed. He could just put the lyrics to the current one into Bone Thugs.
Him and Gabe can just do a mix. Oh my God, mind blown!
I'll play anything Zach and Gabe do. That's the only music I listen to anymore. So
what if I did it?
I'm gonna say yes and then not do it.
Yeah. It sounds so much nicer. It sounds so much nicer with your accent. I feel okay about it.
Well, that was not intentional. So
you know what? It's still happening. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
All right. And my wonderful, glorious ginger co-host, Tyler.
Whoa, that is our word, sir.
I am offended for Tyler's people.
My beautiful phoenix haired co-host, Tyler. Why don't you tell people who you really are and not this whatever you've been portraying yourself as?
So I'm Tyler. I am from Dynasty Happy Hour. I, like I said, am just on a show with Tim and Doug. I don't know what I do anymore. I'm very confused. But I have rankings up there and everything. I try to argue with Peter on Twitter all the time. My handle is at @DHH_Tyler. And yeah, I am just here to entertain people. And I'm just happy to be a part of this great community. And honestly, I'm very happy that you let me come on. Thank you. We will have to rebuttal and redo this and try to figure out what went wrong the first time, because I feel I am better than what happened tonight, even though it was fun.
Have some people that bring out the best in some people. Me, I drag you down to my level. That's what happens.
I think it was Pete.
Like, that's normally the answer, actually. To be fair, that's just like the cheap answer. That's normally true.
No, I the chance at coming on a podcast with you two and kind of knowing your guys' general sense of humor made it a lot easier to kind of be more relaxed. And I think that's where the episode went. So for people who have finally made it through the last, at the end of this episode, the last episode,
this might be the last episode.
Are we closing it down? Just no, never again.
It's weird. I had two listens.
Did we ruin podcasting for shit?
But no, I had the opportunity to come on with you guys, and I knew I could kind of joke around and be myself, and that is where this came from. So it's actually an episode that has truly shown me being just relaxed. So this is what relaxed Tyler is. So go ahead and unfollow. Go ahead and block. But no, I hope people actually enjoyed. And this is a lot of just us.
Yes, this was absolutely a ton of fun. And I really hope that not only did people actually enjoy this, but every once in a while we said smart things. And I hope they were able to actually understand that even though we were watching Peter double over laughing that running backs don't matter, that we said some things that might actually help in Dynasty like fantasy football.
4 minutes easily. 4 minutes. Four,
yeah, there's a good 4 minutes in here, guys. Just concentrate on that when you rate and review.
Yes.
Or maybe which just take this week off of rate and reviewing. Wait till Brian comes back.
Nope. Go do that. I'm the co-host now. Go ahead and do that. Go rate and review. 5 stars or Pete will come after you. He's think got a thing... very specific set of skills. And he...
I think the best thing we can say at this point is to promise that me and Tyler are not on every week. And so keep listening because we won't be here. I would hope to come back on maybe when Brian's here so that, he can keep us in check. And I think it's pretty obvious, Tyler.
There's there's a knife in my back right now. Let me check.
Yeah, I didn't think I was being subtle about it.
No,
I'll be more direct. I'll be more direct. No,
he was aiming for the front. Guys. He just has bad aim.
Okay. I've wanted to come on the Trade Addicts podcast just because I really enjoy it, and I've been wanting to talk to Tyler and own him in real life just forever. So I really enjoyed that that process too. But no, seriously, love you guys. Thanks for having me on. It was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Yes, so much fun. And in the words of, we'll call it one of my favorite cartoons growing up, The Animaniacs. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Zion Scout House and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe.